all about an origin story at the end of the day. That's what I believe. And we all love stories that have very disparate things coming together to deliver great results. This story actually has ingredients like a cable, a laptop, and a garage in Croatia. We're talking about InfoBip that operates in over 200 countries. On the very first episode of the CX Breakroom, I've got the Chief Business Officer of InfoBip. And that person is most certainly Ivan Ostojic. Ivan, welcome to the podcast and certainly welcome to India. I do believe you've had a tough, way in, and I'm hoping you're settled in.
India is always great. I love the culture. I love the people. I was doing a PhD, so I had a lot of, in Switzerland, I had a lot of colleagues from India. And then as I like to work in the night, they also like to work in the night. So we were kind of watching cricket and some movies on the side. So I managed to learn a lot about the culture, and I always feel very comfortable here.
Wonderful to hear that. And I hope you're comfortable in the podcast as well. I know you've had a long journey and plenty of sleepless nights, but I'm quite certain the topic is going to excite you today because it is your turf. And it's a very interesting story. Garage, everyone loves that kind of a story. Oh, I can do it too, right? So Tell us about how you've gone from that place to being a global communications technology company, $1 billion revenue, and without external funding. My simple question is how?
Yeah, so actually today we are $2 billion revenue, but yeah, we reached $1 billion without external funding. It's a very interesting story. So Silvio, who's our CEO, in some ways he was much ahead of the trend. So we founded the company officially in 2006. He was working on this project. I remember those times was after .com. So everybody's like internet, websites, portals, and things like that. And he was fascinated with messages. So, he tried a couple of projects and several of them failed. But then all of a sudden, one sort of started working. Almost when he was ready to pivot to the next thing. So first of all, it was a product focused on messaging. So at the time, it was not possible for businesses to communicate compliantly with their customers, i.e. if you were a business, you couldn't register a phone number on yourselves. There was no like a protocol. So A, we built a whole company around that. And then we provided services through an API. So, there was no app or something. You would just connect through a line of code in order to be able to send communication. And that was kind of crazy because at the time, nobody was building companies around API. Later on, this became a whole economy. And since Croatia is a small country, InfoBip started very quickly going international to provide this service. And that was part of the success because we had to be competitive in many markets and spread globally.
Right.
And then it was very scalable model because, you would like just integrate API, get things going and move next. And so that created that kind of cycle. There were many other products and things that we added along the way. Mm-hmm. But I think that growth brought us to that place where we were not only a unicorn, but a $1 billion revenue company with no external investment. And then I think for us, it was always a bit challenging to crack the US organically. Mm-hmm. And that was our first acquisition. We acquired Open Market in order to get access to US connectivity and businesses. So that was a large part of the next phase of our growth.
Right. Interesting story. And, I'm quite certain there's plenty that founders can take away. But before I come to the point of founders, I had to ask you some more detail on how InfoBip growth model is different from, say, other scale-ups. If you could tell us a little bit about that.
Number one is really, I would say, when it comes to our technology. Number two, it's really around people. And number three is strategic focus on more kind of innovation and development and things like that. As we had to grow globally very quickly, and also our strategy was more to bootstrap than rely on big balance checks. So we worked with telco carriers to build the connectivity. And we worked with some other partners as partners that would bring us into different markets and help us scale. We tried to build like a whole ecosystem mm-hmm. around us, working with other people. And this persists today. We have a very large partner network, number one. Number two is the people. We always had a very strong engineering base, especially in the communication space in Croatia and Bosnia and the region. The way we scaled and the business in other regions was to take some of these kind of original culture,
right,
almost as little seeds, and then hire local people and work together with them to kind of further develop the company, but also to spread the expertise, to spread the knowledge, to spread the connectivity. The third one is this innovation mindset. So we also built one platform sort of for the whole world where you can kind of just come and get what you need. And we are truly global in that sense. But the other thing is that focus on engineering and innovation. I think we're changing this now, but there was a joke that like for every, $2 that one of our competitors spent for marketing, we'd spend $4 on engineering. But that kind of engineering heart and focus on like, what's the next innovation? How do we quickly try it with customers? That's also quite a different element of our model.
Right. Very interesting. You know, no great money bags being thrown at you at that time, sacks of money. I also love the fact that you brought in a sustainable building in terms of teams. Most people think about that in terms of infrastructure, but teams and how you build sustainably, that was a great point. What are some of the key takeaways for founders who are tuned in? What do I do? What's your playbook, if you're willing to share it with us?
Yeah, no, I'm willing to share overall InfoVip philosophy, but I will first kind of talk about the trajectory. So number one is you really have to have rock solid quality of the product and delivery of service, because that's what will take you in that exponential phase. You know, just building things on marketing, and where, especially today in the area of AI, where you don't have a source of defensibility of your product or your service, will not enable that sustainable growth I spoke about. That's one learning. The other learning is early on, you need to think about the culture and how will you scale, because otherwise you might end up in the situation where things are happening to you and you are not really driving.
Right.
Like, as I said, the scale up, phases where you need to grow rapidly. I mean, if it's thought through end to end, it's much more helpful. Mm-hmm. And it is also helpful to use this, what we use to have the nucleus of expertise and culture that's kind of propagate itself, because that will help you build a company in the way you want to build, I think. And I think I would say the third area is really, it links to innovation, but not only, it's that proximity to the customer. Mm-hmm. So the moments of times when we thought we're not doing well were the moments of time when we become too much inward oriented. You want your product managers to be almost CEOs of your product.
Right.
The problem in technically strong cultures, it's very hard to find product managers, that can at the same time be CEO, thinking as a CEO of a product. While in US, that's much easier. So what we are trying to do, not to drift from the customers, we now created this interdisciplinary teams, almost as business units, that are sitting around the products, where the lead of that team is a CEO of that area.
Right.
And we're trying to kind of develop our people to be close to the customers, but also to have a holistic view and think of a business.
Right.
And I think when I talk about learnings, that's the last one I would share, is really think of the talent. How do you build next CEOs?
Right.
And how do you empower your technical people to step up and don't see business as something like dirty, but like the thing that actually helps move your technology on the next wave of growth.
Yeah, absolutely. Some fantastic insights over here for our viewers in terms of the culture through different phases of the organization and how the core of the organization cannot really respond to every shift in a phase is what I'm taking away. And I think you made some great points on business versus technology. And that's a question that we hear a lot of people ask across sectors. I think you've set us off on a great journey over here. I'm excited to see what the other episodes of this particular podcast series, the CX Breakroom, is going to really bring for us, Ivan. And thank you so much for joining us on the series. We've learned certainly from you that it's not about shouting the loudest. It's really about building with purpose. And I think that is a key to success. Thank you so much.
Great summary. Thank you very much for having me.
That then was episode one of the CX Breakroom with Ivan Ostojic telling us about the story of focus, resilience and scale with InfoVip as example. And you can join us on the next episode to catch up with Ben Lewis, who is the Vice President, Marketing and Growth at InfoVip. And he's going to walk us through some of the developments in that particular space. All of that coming up in episode two of the CX Breakroom.